Good morning, everyone. Coach Christy here with you this Saturday morning, which is not my normal morning to be with you all. As y'all are coming in, can you give me a thumbs up if you can hear me all right? Sometimes my microphone, oh, thank you for the thumbs up, everybody. Let me get set up here. Got my chat open. I'm not normally with you guys on Saturday. Saturdays are my days off, but I love chatting with you guys in the maintenance group. So that's why I'm here on Saturday. I wanted to just be here with y'all. So let me open this up. Let me change my name. Okay. You guys know I'm not Corinne Crabtree. I am Coach Christy. Okay. So as you're coming in, let me just kind of tell you a little bit about me, because I haven't been around for too very long. For about, I guess it's been about 10 months now. So I mostly work with private clients, and I'm in the Facebook group quite a bit. I also work with new members that are coming in and have lots of questions. We do some calls for them too. So I work with those as well. But I have a special place in my heart for those of you in maintenance. So if you are here, and you are not in maintenance, is this call for you? Yes, it is. If you want to, be in maintenance one day, then you probably would benefit to know about some obstacles that you might be facing once you get there and how to work on them before you're in maintenance. Right? So you're going to hear from a lot of No BS members today who are in maintenance that want to get some coaching, and you'll be able to see, hey, maybe that's something that I can start working on now. So when I get to maintenance, it'll be a little bit smoother transition for me. So a little bit more about me. So I have been a coach for about 10 months. I'm getting ready to come up on 1 year. And I was a No BS member for about 3.5 years before I went to life coach school and decided this is what I wanted to do. Before that, I was a stay-at-home mom for several years. I have two kids, Jack, 21, and Emma, 18. They're both in college now, so I'm an empty nester, along with Coach Shannon, who is in the chat with you. She is typing in all caps. She is not yelling at you. She just wants you to know that she's responding as a coach, as a No BS coach. So Shannon and I are empty nesters together, and we have supported each other through this journey, because the struggle is real when all your children leave you. But there's also some great things, and I'm figuring those out too, and as I'm sure Shannon is. Okay, so a little bit more. So I was a frequent flyer on Weight Watchers. I hit my highest weight of my entire life of about 270. And I lost 107 pounds with Weight Watchers. And I got down to what their goal weight, their little chart said I was supposed to be. And actually, that's not even true. They said I was supposed to weigh 153. And I had to get a doctor's note to say that I could weigh 157. Because, you know, do I have any fellow like ex Weight Watcher people on the call today? Give me a thumbs up if you've done Weight Watchers and you are a recovering Weight Watcher person. Okay. Yeah. I'm getting some thumbs up. Okay. So they give you, I don't know if y'all know, but they give you a 2 pound range that you have to maintain. So I had to get a special note from my doctor saying that I could weigh 157 pounds. So I hit that goal and I was there for like a minute. And then I started gaining slowly over the next probably 10 years or so, kept going back to Weight Watchers and thinking that was what worked. And it does work if you do it. The problem was it wasn't how I wanted to live my life. So came across No BS and Corinne Crabtree and decided, like a lot of you all, I'm sure that she was making sense. And this is how I wanted to live my life. So I am in maintenance right now. My range is 175 to 185. I'm 5'7", just in case you are wanting to know that. You can't tell when we're sitting down how tall we are, right? And I share my maintenance range with you, not so you can, you know, think anything about what your maintenance range could be, but I just want to, I want to normalize more than one maintenance range. And for those of us recovering Weight Watchers, you might have had some ideas of what you should weigh or what you're supposed to weigh. And I did. They told me I was supposed to weigh 153. I had to get a note to say that I could weigh 157. And even at 157, that was a struggle for me. And I was miserable. I mean, I know you all have heard Corinne talk about her bodybuilding days and her bikini competition days and how she could maintain 130 and 135, but she was not happy. And so that's kind of where I was. 157 was really challenging for me to maintain. And so I ended up gaining weight all the way back up to about 240. And that's about the time that I found Corinne. And I have settled into this maintenance range of 175 to 185. And I'm usually at the upper end in the summertime, similar to Corinne. That's when I do most of my vacationing, a little more drinking, just a little more traveling and those kinds of things. And then in the wintertime and going into the spring is usually where I drop into the lower end of my range. I've done that for the past 3 years. And so now I just know it's my pattern. So I'm sharing that with you guys so you can, if you're struggling with setting your goal weight range or, you know, thinking you should weigh a certain number, I just want you to think about that there really is a variety of goal weight ranges. I know MJ shared her goal weight range the other day on a coaching call, and, you know, hers is very different. Hers is different than mine and different than Shannon's. So it's just really about normalizing all weight ranges and, you know, just getting you to remember that being a certain number is not what makes you happy, right? Having habits that you love and a process that you love is what makes you happy. So, okay. So is that enough about me? I think that's it. That's all you need to know, right? I love working for an OBS. I love coaching my private clients. I love being here with y'all in the maintenance group. If you are not in maintenance, this call is for you. We will be here for about an hour. This is an open coaching call. So I need some of y'all to raise your hands who want some coaching around maintenance. We would like all the people coached today to already be in maintenance, but that doesn't mean that if you are not in maintenance, you can't listen in and get some good nuggets. Also, if you're not aware, we have a whole maintenance section of the website for you. So if you're new to NOBS or you're new to maintenance and you didn't know that existed for you, I would like to share that with you. You just go to the website, scroll down, you can apply, you can just let us know that you are in maintenance, and we will give you access to the website. And on the website, you'll be able to see the maintenance planner, which is amazing. You'll be able to see the maintenance course and all the modules. You'll also be able to join an accountability group that is specifically for those in maintenance. And you'll also have access to all the calls that are specifically about maintenance, all the coaching calls. So if you just, you know, I just want to listen to calls that are all about maintenance, on the maintenance part of the website, you can find all of that there. Okay. And while people are coming in and considering raising their hands, because I don't see anybody with a hand raised yet, y'all raise your hands for coaching today because we're getting ready to start. Okay. The other thing is the next question is, because, you know, to the title of today's coaching call is Mastering Maintenance, What's Next in Your Maintenance Journey? Okay. So some of you all may have gone through the course and you're like, okay, now what? Am I done? Have I finished the Netflix of weight loss and now I'm just on my own? No. Corinne, all throughout the maintenance course, if you remember, she listened and she sprinkled in what you could be working on next. And here are some suggestions that she gave for bonus courses. And y'all know we are always adding bonus courses to the website. She is tweaking and making them better all the time. So, for example, this month in October, the membership is going through NOBS again. And if you're thinking, yeah, but I'm in maintenance, I don't really need to hear that stuff anymore, I've got that all down, I encourage you to go back through it one more time. It is your foundation. I do it once a year. Because it just, every time you hear it, you'll hear something different. You know, think about the first time you listened to it when you first started losing your weight and all the ahas you were having. If you were like me, most of the ahas were like, okay, what am I supposed to be doing? How much water? What? And I got to make a plan. Okay. I was very much into the do line. Probably the next couple years that I listened to it, I was starting to hear some of the thought work stuff. I was thinking like, oh, did she talk about this last time? Yeah, she did. I was just not in a place to be ready to hear that. I was coming from Weight Watchers and I just wanted to know the rules, right? So I encourage y'all to just go back, listen to the No BS course again. Modules 1 and 2 have gotten a refresh. I love lesson 7 of module 1. It's all about the phases of change. And, you know, it's no different than, you know, when you first started your weight loss journey, you are, most of you, if you're just coming into maintenance, you're working on your belief that you can stay in maintenance and the phases of change. That concept could be so helpful. Module 2 is, she introduces the 4 N's in module 2, which is new to No BS. And we have been really trying to incorporate that. If you've been on Ask Coaches lately, you probably see a lot of responses around the 4 N's. And in module 2, she goes through every N. Each one has their own lesson, lessons 2 through 5. Notice, normalize, neutralize, and next best thought. She goes through each one and explains it in detail on how to do that. So if it's been a minute since you've gone through the No BS weight loss course, that's what we're doing this month as a membership. Outside of that, what kind of courses can help you after the maintenance course? If you are getting triggered by the scale still, if you are still having scale drama, the scale course, Conquering the Scale course, is outstanding. It is amazing. So I encourage you, if you haven't perused that course, take that one. It's really, really good. If you came into No BS and you had mostly lost all your weight and you're just trying to work on the thought work, and you haven't fallen in love with the process of how we teach weight loss here at No BS yet, if you've done it in some other way that you didn't like and you came to No BS because you wanted to learn how to lose weight in a way that you loved and you didn't really work on your self-love and you thought getting to the goal weight was what was going to make you happy, I encourage you to take the self-love course. Okay. That is a fantastic course to teach you how to love your life, love your process, and stop making the scale be the way you love yourself. Okay. And lastly, two more courses I have recommended for you. If you were in maintenance, but you've gained some back, which, hello, that was me. Thumbs up if you hit maintenance and then gained. Thumbs up. Everybody who did it, Yeah. Okay. Same, y'all. I came into No BS. Look at all the thumbs up, right? This is normal for this to happen. Okay. And I will tell y'all that when it happened to me, I struggled because I had thoughts of, well, here we go. This is just like Weight Watchers. This is no different. This is what I do. I'm all in for a little while. And then, you know, I just gain No BS. I thought it was the magic pill and it's not, right? And so I really had to work through my thoughts. And the Regain Solution course is amazing for that. The first thing that Corinne teaches you to do, y'all, my nose is itching and I'm trying not to scratch it because I'm on camera and it's going to look like I'm picking my nose, but I just have to itch it. Sorry. The Regain Solution is amazing for that. The first thing she teaches you to do in that course is drop the shame shawl. There is no shame. There is no shame in a regain. Oh, that's kind of rhymes. No shame in a regain. Okay. All you have to do is tell yourself, you know what? I'm good at losing weight. Obviously, I lost my weight, right? There was something I was supposed to learn that I didn't pick up the first time around. What is it? I'm ready to go to work on finding out what I missed. I need to just go back. I need to start incorporating the habits that I let slide, right? I need to pick up some skills that Corinne was offering to me that I just ignored. For me, it was the thought work, y'all. I'm going to tell you, I hit maintenance the first time around just in the do line. I was just doing the things. I white knuckled when I needed to. I put that square peg in that round hole when I needed to. I never did the thought work. I never journaled. I didn't think I had a problem. I was like, this is not the problem. The problem is I'm overeating and I can't get my shit together, right? I didn't realize it was the thought work. So when I put on 15 pounds of what I had lost, I was like, okay, let me go back. Let me go back and see what I missed that first time around. And it was the thought work. So that's when I re-listened to No BS and I started hearing different parts of it. So I don't know if that's some of y'all, but I just wanted to share my experience. So the Regain Solution, the self-love course, Conquering the Scale. And lastly, if you're in maintenance and you maybe haven't gained a whole lot of your weight back, but you're starting to notice, this was one of my private clients this week too, starting to notice some of your old habits, like you're just seeing them make a, I call it a cameo. They just made a little cameo this past weekend, little, hey, hey, remember me? Wasn't that fun? Right? That's what happened with my private client. On the weekend, she found herself kind of saying, fuck it, a little bit and like throwing out the baby with the bathwater and just doing that kind of stuff. And she was making it a big deal, right? Because she was doing like I did the first time around. Oh, Lord, here we go. This is when I start to just gain it all back. Instead of like thinking, you know what? This is my habit brain just making sure that we like our habits, that we like our new habits. Are you sure? Let's just try this old one on again, just to be sure, see if it fits, right? Just a different way to reframe that thinking. So if that's you, consider taking the self-sabotage course. That will teach you how to be aware of those sneaky habits that are trying to come back in and how to get a hold of them quickly before they become a big regain. Okay. Jean says, that was me too. The journaling is the secret sauce of no BS, right? There's so many secret sauces, right? I mean, we have so many tools, which is another reason, right, y'all? If you're in maintenance, like, I mean, I know we have a lot of people that leave no BS and they're like, I got it. Thank y'all so much. I'm ready to go out and charge. But even if I wasn't a coach, I mean, for reals, I would stay in no BS forever because we have so much content that is not about weight loss. Like all the thought work. I mean, yes, we're teaching you the thought work so you can lose your weight, but that shit applies everywhere in your life. Like you trying to get a new job? Let's work on your thoughts about it. Right? You trying to be happy in your marriage? We got a relationships course for you. We can teach you how to manage your thoughts about that. Right? You want to learn how to love your new maintenance body? We got a course for that one too, which, you know, the last little part of the maintenance is about your body and the changes and loose skin and all that. The Judith Gatton course, loving your body at any size. Amazing. Right? So if you're no BS for life like me, it's most likely because we got good shit that's going to just take you forever and ever. It's going to keep you on the straight and narrow. Okay. Anything else? No, I think that's all. All right, y'all, let's get to some coaching. What? I don't even know what I'm saying. Okay. So I'm just looking in the chat real quick. Shannon is doing a great job responding. Maria says, I so want to be able to open my mind with journaling and I have a challenging time. I really don't know how or what to write. I've watched videos. Listen, I so want the help. Okay. Here's what I recommend to you, Maria B. Stop watching videos. You don't need to watch any more videos. Don't complicate it. Get your pen on the paper. I don't care if your first sentence is, I don't know what the fuck to write. And then you close it and you just call it a day. And then the next day you open it up and you're like, okay, here's how I want to feel today. Here's my shopping list. Here's what I'm going to do today to lose weight. I don't even care. Most of the time when my private clients are struggling with journaling, it's because they're complicating it. They think it's supposed to be this deep, dark, you know, let me just excavate my daddy issues and all that. No, it's not. It's just about you in the beginning, just getting used to hearing your thoughts, getting them on paper, anything, just write anything. And oh, by the way, I just want to point out, if you're doing your assessment, that is journaling. You are answering some questions. You are writing an answer. That is journaling. Okay. So you are a journaler if you're doing your assessment, right? I know we get all caught up in people posting these big, long journals and they discovered all these deep, dark secrets. But, you know, we all don't start that way. I did not start that way. I told y'all that my thought work was non-existent when I first came into no BS. Okay. So I started journaling with literally just making a list of things I thought. Here's what I'm thinking today. I don't want to go to work. Not this job. It was a different job. I'm probably going to overeat pizza tonight. I don't know if my plan is good enough. Like I just started writing down things as they popped into my head. I didn't even use punctuation. I just vomited it. So I hope that helps, Maria. Just put your pen to paper. Okay. Thank you. I'm doing my assessments. Thank you. You're so welcome. You're so welcome. Okay. Here we go. It looks like MAME or MAMI. I'm not sure how to say it. You can tell me when you come on, but I'm going to promote you to panelists because your hand is raised. Thank you for raising your hand. The rest of you, as you're thinking, we've got 40 minutes left together. So, I mean, this is either going to be a really short coaching call, but I want you to be thinking about what might I want to get coached on today? Do I have something coming up on this weekend? How do I feel about my maintenance? Where am I at with my thoughts? So be thinking about that while we're listening to our latest victim. I'm just kidding. Our latest person that's coming up to coach. Okay. So tell me did I say it right? Is it MAME or MAMI? MAME.
Yeah,
I did. Okay. What are we coaching on? It's good to see you.
Thank you. I don't want to have to be coached for 40 minutes though. So I hope somebody else raises their hand. whatever. I'm open.
Maybe we can just start chit-chatting about other stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Sun's out today. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So I actually started out this call with sending a question in which Shannon answered. And it was about the successful urge worksheet, the mm-hmm. line that says, how did you reward yourself instead of eating? Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I am in maintenance, so.
Congratulations. Yeah. How much weight, can I just ask you, how much weight did you lose, Maine?
I lost 95 pounds.
Wow. Congratulations. That's amazing. Thanks.
And I had a small regain and I'm going back to my range.
Okay.
Right now. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so, I just distracted myself, thinking about numbers.
Successful urge. How do I reward myself?
Yes. So I was saying in my question, I run a little bit blank when I think about that, and Shannon mm-hmm. gave me some good ideas and that was helpful. Mm-hmm. And then I realized when I read her answer that I think the reason why I go a bit blank on that question is because, and this is something I've been working on for over a year, is I tend to be quite self-deprecating. Mm-hmm. I've really tried to actively work on cheerleading myself and celebrating successes. Mm-hmm. And I mean, for over a year, because I know it's super, super important, but mm-hmm. I'm still not, you know, I'm still a work in progress on it. Mm-hmm. And then when you were talking about, you know, what people do once they hit their maintenance, I've been also working for the past year now, very strong on my, just my attitude about my job, my expectations mm-hmm. around my job, my expectations around all the people I work with, mm-hmm. All those things. And I have a lot of self-deprecation linked to work.
Okay.
Like all those things are kind of going together. So almost like I practice the habit of self-deprecating a lot at work. And so then when I'm trying to not self-deprecate in other areas, you know, that habit's just there. It's like, oh, it's no big deal. Oh, anyone mm-hmm. could have done it. Oh, this is what you're just expected to do. You know, this is what you're getting paid for. Mm-hmm. You know, just move on to the next gajillion tasks that you have or whatever. So
yeah.
I feel like that's, I guess I would love ideas around that whole situation.
Okay. I love that you're working on this. And this is a great maintenance topic, right? Because essentially what you're telling me, Mame, is that, hey, you know what? I did all the things to lose my weight. And now I'm noticing some other shit in my life that's a little bit jacked up. Right. And I don't like it. Right. I don't like the way I feel about my work. This is why we stay in no BS, right? Because it's the skills are going to be the same. Mm-hmm. I love that you've identified this as an area that you'd like to level up, right? Because look at Mame, y'all. She's in maintenance and she's still self-deprecating, right? She's still self-deprecating in just another area, right? Okay. So give me an example of one of your self-deprecating thoughts about work. Like, what is one that you've had recently?
I'm just thinking back to yesterday because I know I had them yesterday. So they're really sneaky and kind of subtle. Like I was running an analysis looking for something in my data and I didn't find anything. And my brain was like, well, that was just a waste of your time, wasn't it? Like somehow I was supposed to have a crystal ball and know whether I was going to find something without looking first, you know, or somebody mm-hmm. thanks me for getting them some information. And I reply like, you know, I'm happy to do so. Or, you know, if it's a coworker, I might say, don't worry about it. You know, this is my job. This is what I'm supposed to be doing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to go into full on yay me with, you know, in a professional email, but that's mm-hmm. my internal monologue too. It's like, oh, I'm just doing my job. It's no big deal.
It's no big deal. Yeah. Yeah.
I frequently think it's no big deal. This is just what I'm supposed to do. I do sometimes like when I hear myself thinking that mm-hmm. and I see it in I do sometimes remind myself, they, meaning the people who employ me, are really lucky to have me. Seriously. They're so fucking lucky that I work for them. And also I don't mm-hmm. get paid enough, which is sometimes useful, sometimes not, but you know what I mean? But like,
yeah.
My way of like,
you know, your value.
No. They're really lucky to have me.
Yeah. So, you know, what's interesting, Mame, is that you say that you don't really allow I'm just going to summarize. You don't really allow accolades, right? Like you don't really allow, but actually you do. It seems like, because you also have the same thought of like, you know what? Yeah, they're really lucky to have me. I'm a good worker, right? Mm-hmm. I'm an asset to this company,
mm-hmm.
right? So mm-hmm. it seems
and
to
I
me,
do believe that.
Yes. So it seems to me like you are giving equal airtime to yourself about what your worth is. Would you agree?
I think I would agree whenever I feel like I have the mental space to do that. Mm. I think maybe what happens at work, sometimes I get so busy mm-hmm. that doesn't happen until, you know, it doesn't happen until like I'm sitting down on the weekend thinking about it. And then I'm like, oh no, they're super lucky to have me. Like that's so clear.
Yeah.
But that doesn't, it doesn't quite counterbalance out the, you know, 50 mm-hmm. hours during the work week when I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or like yesterday I had somebody asking me for advice on something at work.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, I'm happy to read over your email, but I really don't feel like I don't feel like an expert. I don't feel like I'm very knowledgeable in this area. Mm-hmm. So I just want you to be aware of that. And, you know, then the whole time my brain was screaming at me, like, you suck. You're going to tell them the wrong thing. You should, you know, and also mm-hmm. they're going to quit and you're going to have even more work to do. Like my brain just went so to the shitter. And so with that going on in my brain, all the things I'm like, I know I did good things yesterday. I don't know what they are because my brain was so firmly in that other camp.
Yeah. So what, tell me, how is it completely normal that you are not good at celebrating yourself in the moment? Like, why is that totally normal?
I never learned how to do that ever.
Okay.
Like, yeah, I spent many, many years not celebrating and it's still really, really new to me even after working on it for 2 years.
Okay. So never learned how to
do things out.
Yes. Never learned how to celebrate myself. Never learned how to, like, you know, tell myself that I did a good job in the moment. I never learned that skill, right?
Right.
From your parents or, I mean, let's face it, y'all, from society. I mean, I'm pretty sure they are not, I feel like we're similar ages, right? So I'm pretty sure when I was in elementary school and when you were in elementary, they were not teaching us how to celebrate our successes. I mean, I think they've made some progress in schools, but I don't think that they were teaching us that back then, right?
Right. It was just, and I think even with my family, my parents have passed, but I'm the youngest of my family and my sisters who love me and they're like 20 years older than me, they'll mm-hmm. say things like, oh, I'm so glad you presented at that conference. Well, I mean, of course, that's what I expect from you to do. Like they expect me to, which is sweet, like that they mm-hmm. expect me to be smart, but it's also in a way kind of like, if it's expected, I think my brain then says, well, if it's expected, it's not a big deal, is it?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Right. But when you say my brain, that's your habit brain, right?
Right. Yep.
And that's why it makes sense that you're not good at celebrating yourself in the moment.
Right.
Because in the moment, I would say the majority of your day is being run by habit brain or conscious brain?
Habit brain.
Habit brain, right? And I mean, we really want it to be that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you imagine if we had to think deliberately all day long, we would probably all die. Like our brains would explode or something, right?
Right.
I mean, your habit brain wants to automate as much as possible, right? Right. So that, and that's okay. That's normal. Mm-hmm. But what can we do? What can we practice outside of our normal daytime stuff that could eventually make it more likely that you'll get a little bit better at celebrating in the moment?
Exactly. And just like 2 months ago, Coach Julie suggested to me to, like, not when I'm eating, but all like throughout the day, like keep on repeating to myself in different ways how my tummy is the expert of my food consumption, basically.
Yeah.
And I've been doing that now consistently for almost 2 months. And like, I can see how it's changing my mm-hmm. interior landscape. So I would like to have something similar for this.
Yeah.
Like something to practice to start changing.
So what do you think that is? What could you practice throughout the day? Like setting a reminder on your phone or journaling in the morning? What could you practice? What would you say to yourself?
I don't know. This is where I go a little bit blank. It's kind of related to that whole, how did I
successful urge worksheet? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, like, if no one else is listening and it was just me and you, right? Okay. Tell me why you're amazing at your job.
Let's see. I'm amazing at my job because I'm extremely patient with people who don't understand what I do. Okay. I'm amazing at my job because this is a circumstance that I try not to dwell on, but I am underpaid for my work. And I could actually prove that salary range wise compared mm-hmm. to other, mm-hmm. the same job at other companies, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because I do work for the government. Mm-hmm. So it's
okay. So you're underpaid. And that means what about you as a worker?
Right. So I still think this work is so important that mm-hmm. I'm choosing to do it.
Yes.
And it's work that needs to be done for the residents of my state. And, I take my responsibility to them very seriously. My desire to serve them, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I'm amazing because I'm doing an important job of service to try mm-hmm. to help people.
Yeah.
I'm
guessing your sister said you're smart. So I'm guessing you're smart.
I believe you seem
very smart to me, May. So you're smart.
Well, I say I'll totally self-deprecate by that because I've been told I was smart and I should do more because I am smart all my life. Like that doesn't even occur to me.
Yeah.
As so something smart, like,
but, yeah. But let's say on this train, let's say on the I'm amazing train.
Right. So I'm amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I'm amazing because I don't swear at people at work when I want to. And I'm amazing.
So you have respect for your coworkers?
There we go. That's a good way to put it. And sorry, my dog is being very needy.
She's like it.
Working, walking.
She's doing like drive-bys.
Yeah.
So I'm patient with others. I'm mm-hmm. dedicated and go above and beyond, right? I'm smart.
No,
I have respect for my coworkers.
Yes.
People value my opinion.
I guess.
Somebody must have, didn't you tell me yesterday someone sent you an email and wanted you to evaluate it? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you value your opinion?
That's situation specific.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I value my opinion all the time about what I should do or what I want,
mm-hmm.
but I don't, I'm not an advice offerer to other people. Mm-hmm. So in a way mm-hmm. I feel like I don't value my opinion about other people's situations because I don't know what's going on inside of them
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah. So do you think that if you made this list every work. Yes, there you go.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, like, yeah.
Do you think that if you went over this list every day and journaled about it, if you woke up every day for the next, let's say 30 days, and your journaling topic for the next 30 days was, here's why I'm amazing at my job. Here's why I'm the perfect person for this job. If you just wrote that every day, do you think that in those moments where you self-deprecate at work, it might be more likely that these new thoughts that you've been practicing over and over by writing them outside of the moment, do you think that there might be an increased chance that they will also come up in the moment when you have your old shitty deprecating thoughts?
So consciously, I think that yes, that would happen because that's the way our brains work. And the rest of my brain's like, oh, that'll never help.
Well, of course. Right. Yeah. Why would your habit brain be telling you that that would never help?
Say it again.
Why would your habit brain think that that would never help?
Well, for one thing, it doesn't think change is hardly ever a good idea. And for another thing, it doesn't want me to do the work to try to change something. And
that's right. Your habit brain is telling you right now to get off this call. Hurry up, get off Maine before she gives you anything else to do. We are very busy. We cannot have any more
calls. Right.
Right. So. Exactly. So what is the best way to move from this will never work? What is the best feeling that can transition? That it's like the transporter from this will never work to, oh my God, this is amazing. What is the feeling that transports us? Do you know?
Maybe willingness.
Yeah. Willingness, curiosity, right? That is the baby step feeling.
Now my brain's saying, I'm already doing the tummy new thought stuff. You can't add this on top of it. It's too much.
Hey, you know what? Mame, we don't need to argue with your brain.
Thank God.
You don't have to start this work today.
Mm-hmm.
You just have awareness now that this is the next skill that you might want to work on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let me tell you, so like with my private clients, one of the things I like to do with them, because some of the time, I mean, let's be honest, right? Most of the time people that come to private coaching, it's because they want to speed up their weight loss a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Or they have something else that they want to work on that's not even to, you know, well, they think it's not related to weight loss, but it almost always is. But anyway, they have something they want to work on. Well, one of the things I like to do is I say, you know what? Let's make a list of all the skills you think you're going to need and all the things you're going to need to like fix in your life. Let's just make a list, right? And so they're like, okay, well, I'm going to need to learn to sit with urges. I'm going to have to get better at planning. I need to go to bed by 11. I've got to get in some movement. And they just make this list of all the things that they need to do, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, all right, so now we have a roadmap. Where do you want to start? And we'll just pick one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just one thing. Just pick one thing that we're going to work on. The rest, we know it's coming. It will be our next guidepost. We won't move to it until we've mastered this one thing. So listen, we could just be having this coaching call and you could just be like, okay, when I've got this tummy thing down and I'm back in my range, this is what I'm going after next.
So, yeah, so that you kind of just touched on my next question is like, I like that idea. How do you know when you've mastered something enough that you're ready to move on to the next thing? Because with some things, it's very clear to me.
Yeah.
But
like what?
Some things, well, like I've mastered planning and assessing.
How do you know that you've mastered that?
I have the data. I've done it 1,000 days in a row.
Okay.
More than that.
So you have data.
Yeah.
Do you have to tell yourself every morning, like, oh yeah, okay, hold on, let me get out my planner. I forgot I was supposed to do that. Okay.
No.
Do you do that? No. It's like brushing your teeth, right? It's
even better than brushing my teeth.
It's even better, right? Like it would feel weird if you didn't do it.
Yes.
Like you're not putting so much effort in. You don't have sticky notes everywhere going, hey, May, make a plan. No. Right. You don't have that anymore.
Nope.
Okay. So when we get close to that level, maybe not quite that level, right? But when we get close to that is when we know we're ready. The other way you'll know you're ready to start working on your work thoughts is when I bring it up to you, your brain doesn't throw up all these easy bits. Like, we can't do it right now.
Gotcha.
You'll have a thought that's like, you know what? I feel like I've got this going pretty good. I'm ready to start working on something else. You'll just know. It won't feel so like, oh my gosh, right? You'll just feel a little more ready. I would imagine there's been times in your weight loss journey that you've had a similar feeling. Like when you came to NoBS, did you just like start planning and managing urges and discovery worksheets and what all on the same day, like on day one?
Well, I was in another coaching program with
a
life school coach. So I don't think I'm a good example of that. So, like I was already planning daily when I came to NoBS and stuff like that.
Yeah. So you already had some things on lock, but you didn't show up on day one, taking all the self-study courses and doing all the things, right? You sort of just kind of layered them in as you were ready for the next thing, right?
Right. I mean, the reason why I came to NoBS is actually this reason was to learn to be my own best friend and to always have my own back. That was like the two main reasons why I came to NoBS.
Well, there you go. What would your best friend say to you about some of your work stuff?
Oh my God. My best friend would be like, you are awesome. They're lucky to have you. You don't get paid enough, but it's really great that you do this work. I can't believe all the things you deal with and you do.
Y'all look at her go right now. When I was asking her what was amazing about her, she was like, well, hold on, let me think. Well, I don't cuss out my coworkers.
I have a really great best friend. I know exactly what she would say.
Yeah.
That's so why have I want to be my own best friend. See, I mean,
you just were her. So, so when you're ready to do this work, Mae,
right,
when you've got the tummy thing, I love how we're calling it the tummy thing. When you've got the tumming thing under mm-hmm. control and you feel like, okay, I feel like I've got that going again. And I I've got that, like, I'm juggling this ball really good. Like, I don't even have to think about it now. I'm ready to put like another one, right? When yes. you're ready to start working on your thoughts about work, what will be the plan? Every day you will do what?
I will ask myself, what would my best friend say about my work?
Amen. Yes. I will ask myself, what would my best friend say about me as a worker? Because whatever she would say is what I need to practice saying to myself.
Yes.
Hell, call her up and tell her to make you a little recording. Be like, hey, what's your best friend's name?
Cindy.
Cindy, is she in No BS?
She is.
Cindy, where are you at?
Oh, she's Cindy. Not here on this call.
Oh, sure. Too bad. All right. Maybe she'll listen to the replay. Cindy, we need you to make Mame a recording about why she's amazing, right? This is what I tell my private clients too. Like, I want them to pay very close attention to the way I talk about them in our coaching sessions, because when and if they ever leave me, I mean, Lord knows I want them to stay with me forever because I learned to fall in love with my clients, right? But I want them to pay attention because that's how I want them to talk to themselves. So when they leave me, I want them to be their own coach. What would their coach say to them about this? What would their best friends say? That's mm-hmm. what I want you to mimic. And sometimes we just imitate that. You know, a lot of us, when we came to No BS, one of the things Corinne said to me, not to me personally, but like I heard her say, but of course, in my mind, she was talking to me. One of the things she said was, if you can't believe in yourself yet, borrow my belief. I believe in you. Mm-hmm. Right? So if you don't know how to talk nicely to yourself yet, borrow Cindy's words for just a little bit. And the more you practice those words on purpose outside of moments, the more likely it is that they will become an option in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Okay.
That so sounds when, easier. Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's it. It's just y'all, God, if I could boil No BS down to like one thing, it's just about telling the whole side of the story, giving equal airtime. What else is true? And then practicing that on purpose. That's it. Why? Because you said, if I just had to like, let me just summarize this coaching call, right, with you. I have self-deprecating thoughts at work. Answer, practice positive thinking about work outside of the moment. The end. That's it. I mean, it sounds, I don't mean to, you know, simplify it that much, but that's really what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And it's normal that our brains think, well, it can't be that easy. Like, that's dumb. That's not even going to work. Mm-hmm. Right? Why do our brains think that? Well, because I'm going to scroll up in the chat. Somebody said in here, I was raised, something about being raised to never celebrate themselves. Ah, I grew up, Jean says, I grew up with the philosophy, self-praise stinks, SPS for short. My coach helped me normalize that. Then EECH says, girls of my generation were taught not to brag. Boys could do it, but heaven forbid girls did. Mm. Right? Mm-hmm. So of course our brains think that this is a waste of our time. We shouldn't be doing this. This is mm-hmm. stupid. Right?
Yeah, it's totally normal.
Totally normal.
No.
But the new No BS, like y'all, we're like minions. Corinne wants us to infiltrate society and change mm-hmm. it. She wants us to be the ambassadors of celebrating ourselves. And women, especially, y'all, we need to do that. I mean, I celebrate myself for putting the damn clothes in the dryer. Look at me crushing it, right? I'm like, mm-hmm. I didn't let them sit in the washer for 2 days like sometimes I do. Mm-hmm. I got them in the dryer. And believe you me, my habit brain says, well, shit, you're a stay-at-home mom. You're supposed to be doing that. Like, why are you celebrating that? Like, duh. And then it will say, but you know, you left dishes in the sink, right? Mm-hmm. Celebrating ourselves and telling ourselves that we're badasses takes deliberate effort.
Mm-hmm. And now my brain's saying, you've been working on this for over 2 years. It's never going to happen. Just give up. Because our brains are just like, they're yeah. such lying bitches sometimes.
You know why he just said that? I would listen, just so you know, y'all, my habit brain's name is Steve. It's just, he's a man. He's saying that because he's like, oh shit, she's actually getting ready to agree to this freaking work. Let me throw something else in there. Let me just throw this at her. You know, you've been working on this for 2 years. You, Yeah. And you know what I would say to Steve? I'd be like, Steve, I'll work on this till the day I die. Mm-hmm. I would rather go down swinging, fighting for my badassery, mm-hmm. than keep feeling like shit, like I wasn't good enough.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. So here's the last, this not, I'm sure it's not the last thing, but then especially with work things, mm-hmm. I have, my brain will then, when I'm like really in the groove of like, I'm doing great at work, I'm crushing it, this is important, then my brain says, well, then you should really get another job because you're clearly worth so much more. And, but my brain isn't saying that like, you're a rock star, you should get another job and blah, blah, blah. It's saying like, let's scare the shit out of you by trying to tell you, you need to find another job.
Yeah. Well, that's normal. You gave me that one already. But what you said was, it's just interesting because you just gave me your habit thought earlier in the call. You gave me the conscious brain answer to that.
Right.
And you said, what, tell me what you said. Do you remember what you said about this?
Well, one of my conscious brain answer thoughts to that is, this is important work and I'm choosing to do it.
Yeah, this is really important. I'm getting a lot of value personally mm-hmm. from this work. Mm-hmm. Listen, we get paid in lots of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yes. And how we feel about our work and the contribution that we're making to society for some of us matters.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes more than the paycheck. Mm-hmm. I mean, y'all, I'm just going to say this. I was a teacher. Ain't nobody a teacher because of the good pay.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. Well, maybe somebody. I don't know. Somebody might be getting paid a lot. If you would teach in Alaska, you actually get paid quite a bit, but it also costs a lot to live there. So I think it all comes out in the wash. Right. But yes. For reals, right? So, and so you just gave me the perfect example. Old shitty thought. Well, if you're so amazing, you know, you ought to get paid for your amazingness. You should go get a different job. You're mm-hmm. just going to stay in this shitty job. Well, you must not think very much of yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. you say back to it on purpose with intention. You know what? Maybe one day I will want to go get a different job, but right now, this job is important. I got mm-hmm. a lot of work here left to do.
Mm-hmm.
You just talk back to it. Mm-hmm. Hear my old shitty, talk back on purpose, outside mm-hmm. of the moment, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy says, it's been eye-opening to me to realize how many women feel they're not good enough. I never realized it until no BS. There goes my I'm a unicorn theory. Yeah. 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 A lot of us, y'all. A lot of us. Because if you think about common reasons we overeat, a lot of them are going to be because we're not good enough. And mm-hmm. we want to escape that. We want to escape those self-loathing, self-deprecating thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us are like that. Yeah. Okay. So summarize, when you're ready,
right.
when you are ready, this is how you'll work on it. You'll do it the same way you work that Coach Julie gave you. Same advice. You pick what you're going to think on purpose. And then you just go to work on that. You're like, you know what? I want to feel better about my job. I want to feel like a rock star. I want to walk into work feeling proud and happy to be there every day. And mm-hmm. if I want to feel like that, then I have to think those thoughts. And I got to mm-hmm. think those outside of the moment, because when I'm busy at work, my habit brain is going to be running the show. And I just want to give him a new Rolodex of options.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was really good to meet you.
Great.
Thanks for coming
this
on.
This was helpful.
Good. I'm so glad. All right. We'll see you next time. Bye, hun. All right. Y'all, that was really good. And I see there's a really good discussion going on here in the chat about feeling good enough and celebrating ourselves and our reluctance as women to do that. Y'all, that's a thing. But I really mean it when I say Corinne wants us to be the little ambassadors, and we need to go out and change the world. And the first way to do that is change it with yourself. Become the person who unabashedly celebrates her amazingness. Model that for all the people around you. If you're a parent, if you're a mom of daughters especially, let's do this. Let's talk out loud about how amazing we are in front of our kids. I mean, I'm an empty nester now, but my dogs, they hear about how amazing I am every day. Y'all, before this coaching call, I mean, I know Shannon can vouch for me. We get nervous. Right? I get nervous coming on these dang calls. I'm sweating. That's why I can't be in long sleeves yet, because I'll be sweating through it. right? But I tell myself before I get on this call, I promise you I did this. I sat here, I had my hands on my desk, I had my eyes closed, and I was like, you're a great coach. You can help these people. I just remind myself of that every day, because when I get on the call, I'm like, shit, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm gonna fuck these people up. My brain says that, right? Okay. Let me see. Do we have any questions in the Q&A before I pull up Miss Angie, my friend Angie that I've talked to several times? Y'all, there are 109 of us on this call. I love it. Is there anything in the Q&A? Nope. Miss Shannon is on it like a bonnet. All right, Angie, you're coming up. I hope you're not naked. Here we go. Y'all, Angie is so sweet. If you don't know Angie, thanks, Joyce. Christy, I'm a great coach. Thank you so much. Oh, listen to y'all. See, y'all are all my best friends now, just like Cindy was from Maine. My best friends are telling me I'm a good coach. Y'all call me every day. I'm putting my phone number in the chat. You can just call me up and text me. Tell me every morning how great I am. I love it. Hi, Angie.
I was hoping you'd sing my song.
Which one did I sing? There's several Angie songs. Which one?
Rolling Stones.
Angie. That one? Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Anytime. You can play that back and just edit out just my little singing for you, and you can have it every morning. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Thank you.
What are we talking about?
So I did what Corinne calls last week some donkey butt eating.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in my fourth month of maintenance, so still pretty new at this.
Okay.
And I triggered some shame and some fear with a weight gain. Mm. And while I do not want to tell you what I gained, I will, because I think that's good practice at removing the shame.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't think I still had this in me. I gained 6.8 pounds in 1 week.
Okay.
But the good part of that is that I didn't avoid the scale. I faced the music.
Mm-hmm.
It put me 3.4 pounds over my range.
Okay.
So I think I feel like I'm yo-yoing a little bit, and I'm thinking, like, when the hell am I going to be able to figure out my happy little, and I guess that's sort of a lie too, because I know why I gained that weight. But I think a little bit of shame is getting to me. Like, how the hell can you gain 6.8 pounds in 1 week?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. So let me ask you that question. Let me, if we were besties, which I feel like we are right now, right?
Yes.
If I was asking you that question and you came on our call together, like if we were Zooming together, and you'd be like, Christy, my bestie, I gained 6.8 pounds. I could ask you that same question with no judgment or shame. I'll be like, really? Okay. What happened? How'd you do that? And you would say,
I overate.
Okay. You overate. Oh yeah. Okay. That happens. Yeah. Like normal people overeat occasionally. Yeah. Like even normal people even Corinne Crabtree, the queen of weight loss, she overeats. Yes. Okay. So you overate. Was something going on? What's happening?
Yeah, I did have some circumstances going on that I knew in the moments that I was overeating, I was going back to old habits of comforting myself with food because I was tired on top of a little bit of overwhelm and just fell back into that. I just was hoping that in maintenance, I could turn it around a little bit quicker before I had 6.8 pounds staring at me.
So this is not that different than MAME, okay? So when we first start doing a habit, like, I'm going to try to come up with an analogy. All right, when you first started losing your weight, how much have you lost? Tell me, Angie.
100 pounds.
100 pounds, y'all. 100 pounds.
In menopause. I always like to throw that in there.
In menopause. Now, if y'all have not listened to, I'm just going to give Coach Heather a little plug here. Look, you're getting all kinds of little emojis here. I'm going to give Coach Heather a plug here. Last Sunday, she did a call at 1 o'clock about hormones and weight loss. It is fantastic. So catch it on the replay. But yes. Okay. So you lost 100 pounds in menopause. Okay. When you first started, Were you super quick at catching those overeats? Were you like stopping yourself before they even started? Were you like, oh, I got that one. I never even overate, like never overate, never did any of that stuff? No. Okay. So we had a bunch of skills when we first started losing our weight that took us a while to get to where we were seeing the danger before we actually succumbed, right?
Yeah.
In the beginning, when we are studying our overeats, when is the learning happening? Before, during, or after? In the beginning.
After,
right? And we just keep on doing it. We keep on doing the discovery worksheets afterwards. And then we have all kinds of coaching calls where people are like, I know, but how do I get to be able to catch it before it happens? Right? How many of y'all have heard that? Yes. Well, the way we do it is we keep doing it after, right? It's just like MAME. We keep doing it outside of the moment because the more we write the same fucking shit on that discovery worksheet, the same thing, the same pattern. I always overeat at 3 o'clock. I always overeat at 3 o'clock. I always overeat. And we keep saying that to ourselves. I don't want to overeat at 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock is my witching hour. Then one day, 3 o'clock dings and we're like, oh shit, this is when I overeat. And we know that because we've written it a million times after the fact. Okay. So this is no different in maintenance, right? You put on 6.8 pounds in a week, right? That's what the scale says. And now we are stopping it at 1 week. Yeah. We're stopping it at 1 week, right? The next time you put a little bit of weight on, maybe we'll stop it in 6 days. The next time you bump up just a little bit, maybe we'll stop it in 5 days, right? What if it's just normal? What if this isn't a big deal? What if you're just like, okay, it took me 7 days to kind of get over my drama and work through those thoughts about, oh, this means all kinds of shit about my ability to stay in maintenance. Like those are all normal. We kind of had to have that, let them run their little show for a minute, right? But now we're like, okay, I'm done with that. Now I'm ready to look at my data and understand what was happening, give myself some grace. And then the best part, which we all love, is how am I moving forward today? Right? So you told me, listen, I had some things going on, kind of like the perfect storm of some stuff. I was tired, some circumstances that were happening in my life that maybe weren't happening 2 months ago that now they did. And so I went back to some old strategies, right? How does it make sense that I did that? Because my brain was like, listen, Angie, when everything is going well, we're good. We're not really sure how to handle like crazy stuff yet. So we're going to have to go back to our old habits for just a minute. Okay. Yeah, no big deal. And you're like, all right. But the more I practice looking at my data, not making it a big deal, the more likely I will get better at doing that quicker and closer to the event. So maybe next time, 6.8 pounds is like 5 pounds. And then it's 3 pounds. And then it's 2 pounds because you will have gotten the habit down of seeing yourself sabotaging habits and getting them back in line quicker. Okay. All right. Yeah. So tell me, we understand why it happened, right? Are we beating ourselves up about that? Where are we with that piece of it? In the shame.
Thursday night before I weighed in Friday morning, I started going full on beat down. And I actually caught myself and said, no, we're not doing that.
We're not doing it.
And that's what caused me to get on the scale Friday and just see what happened.
See where we're at, right?
Yeah.
So you use that curiosity. You're like, you know what? I'm just going to see the number and then I'm going to be the scientist and I'm going to like understand with compassion why it happened.
So Coach Christy, you explain that much better than I did because I say, get on the scale, bitch, and face the music. So I'm going to use your analogy next time this happens. Because
yes,
curiosity is a better thought than face the music.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not in trouble. The scale is not going to like, the scale is not the warden. The scale is an opportunity to see your thinking. The scale, listen, I worked on this myself, scale drama. Scale drama is my one thing. Like I came to know BS and I was like, listen, y'all, there's a handful of things that Corinne will not be able to fix. Like I'm just putting it out there. right? She will not be able to fix my desire to eat movie popcorn for the entire 2 hours that I watch a movie. So don't even try to fix that because it's not fixable. She did, by the way. I did. She helped me, right? But the other thing was scale drama. I was like, I will never be able to get on the scale and not freak out. Like, I've just been doing it for so long. Thank you, Weight Watchers, right? I've just been doing it so long that it's just always going to bring up drama, right? And what I've learned is it can bring up drama, but then I can talk back to it. And so here, when I know that I've had an overeat, or I know that you can just tell sometimes if the scale is going to be up, you sort of just have a feeling in your body. I will say to myself before I get on that scale, okay, I'm going to weigh, and this is an opportunity for me to love and understand myself. I say that before I get on. This is my opportunity to love and understand myself. This is an opportunity for me to learn something new to my maintenance puzzle. I'm missing something. There was something that you missed. Maybe it's that, okay, I've gotten really good at maintaining my weight when life is going easy and smooth. Now I've got to figure out, what can I put in place? How can I make it easier when some bumps come in the road? What could I do? Maybe I become a minimum baseline bitch. Maybe I do a little more journaling on those days. Maybe I ramp up my accountability. There's lots of options. But moving to a place of what is the solution versus, oh my God, I can't believe I did this. That's going to keep you stuck. And then that 6.8 pounds might become 10.8 pounds. Okay. So tell me, Angie, before we get off here, how are you moving forward today? We've got the number. We know how much we gained. Okay. What are we doing today?
Well, you'll be happy to hear that I moved forward yesterday, damn it. And I made a beautiful plan and I watched my thoughts all day. And at the end of the day, I said, wow, that doable plan was easy to follow. Yay me.
Yay you. Yay you. And let me ask you this, because this is a secondary thought that a lot of us have when we put on weight like that. 6.8 pounds, we're like, oh my gosh, this is going to take like 3 weeks to get off. This is going to take me forever. So what? So what? Who's not going to love you because you're up 6.8 pounds?
Well, I practiced yesterday removing the shame by telling my husband, can I tell you about my weigh-in just to practice? Because yeah. I'm embarrassed. Mm-hmm. He goes, well, mm-hmm. you don't need to be embarrassed about anything, but okay. So I told him the two numbers and I go, now I'm at 153.4. And he goes, big deal. So I'm practicing that. Big deal.
Yeah.
I'm
so what?
About 3.4 pounds. Like, I'm trying to focus more on 3.4 versus 6.8.
Yeah. Or whatever, right? Like, don't even focus on the number. Like, my advice to you is let the number go. Focus on the habits that are going to get you the number you want. Yes. Celebrate like you did it beautifully yesterday. You're like, you know what? I loved how you described it too, by the way. I made a beautiful plan. And then at the end of the day, listen, Mame, she celebrated herself. She said, look at me following my doable plan. I'm an awesome person, right? Those are the habits and the celebrations that are going to get that 6.8 pounds, however long it takes. Because you know what? There might be some other lessons for you to learn along the way. Let's just keep our eyes open for them, right? Let's use the scale as an opportunity to understand and learn and love.
Ooh.
Let's use it every time we get on that scale. Okay. Something to understand here. Whether it be, I understand why it's up because of these reasons, or I understand exactly why it's down because here's what I did, right? The scale is an opportunity for us to learn, love, and understand. That's all it is, y'all. It is never an opportunity for you to see your worth, your happiness, how you get to feel the rest of the day. No, it is an opportunity for you to learn something about yourself, for you to love yourself exactly as you are, and for you to understand why the number is what it is. That's all the scale does.
I did actually say to my accountability groups yesterday that I think this is a lesson and how to still love myself no matter what the scale says. So yes. I know I thought it, but it's because of what I've learned here and the conquering the scale and maintenance courses. So it's really a true testament to what we learn here. And I'm totally no BS for life.
I love it. Hashtag no BS for life. You know, and a lot of us feel like if we love ourselves being up 6.8 pounds, then we'll want to stay there.
Yeah.
Like, that's a common thought. we think, well, if I love myself with 6.8 pounds, why would I ever want to lose it? Mm-hmm. Right. And the truth is, right, it's normal for us to think that, right? It's normal. That's normal for our habit brains to think, well, we're happy now. Why would we ever want to change from here? But the truth is, loving ourselves with 6.8 pounds on is exactly how we will get them off. Yeah. Right. It's exactly how we will do it. So thank you for sharing, Angie. You got so much love in the chat.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Coach Christy.
You're welcome, hon. All right. I'm going to put you back down. I'll see you next time. Thanks for raising your hand. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, y'all. I hope you learned and got a lot out of this call. Let me check the Q&A. I know we're a little bit over on time, but I just want to make sure that I got everybody's questions. Okay, there looks like there's nothing in the Q&A. Thank y'all so much for being on this call with me on Saturday. It was kind of fun being here on a Saturday. I never know, you know, some people are Sunday callers, Monday callers, but I like y'all Saturday people. It was very fun. I hope you learned a lot. If you had questions that didn't get answered, y'all please go to Ask Coaches. You know, it is people like me and Shannon and Coach Judith and all the other amazing coaches that we have here at NoBS that are really responding to your questions. It is not bots. It is not some behind the scenes. It is us literally reading your questions and responding. Don't forget, we have the amazing maintenance group, Facebook group that you can go to and ask lots of questions there. I try to get in there frequently. And, you know, so you can tag me, you can tag Shannon, you can tag any of us, NoBS coaches, and get questions answered. Also, if you are not in maintenance, but you are getting close, there is an amazing Facebook subgroup called 20 to Life that is for the people that have about 20 pounds or less to lose. So that would also be a really good option for you. Okay, y'all. This was a lot of fun. I learned a lot. I loved helping y'all, and I will see you next time. Have a good Saturday. Thanks, Shannon.